Hey, hello, and welcome to the Feel Strong Fitness Podcast. My name is Justin McClintock, and this week on the podcast, we have Karolina Jakowolska. Karolina is the founder and owner of Euphoric AF, and she's written the book, Euphoric, Ditch Alcohol and Gain a Happier, More Confident You. Karolina came on to talk all about alcohol in relation to fitness and wellness. I had a great time with this conversation, and I was really interested in it, partly because, and I think it's important to put this up front, I am not alcohol free. I don't have really strong feelings on alcohol around fitness and wellness, but I thought it would be really interesting to hear and for people to hear from someone who has done a lot of work on this, taken a journey, and is now Karolina's full-time job is coaching and speaking about helping people ditch alcohol and move on with their lives. Talking to people like this is an exciting part of what I get to do, and I thought you would really enjoy it. Karolina Jakowolska is here on Feel Strong. Karolina, welcome to the Feel Strong podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I am excited to have you here. Now, you call yourself an alcohol-free empowerment expert. What is that?
I do. I help people reimagine what their lives could look like if alcohol wasn't a function, not even just a function of something they're not drinking, but also something that didn't take up mental space. We have a society that venerates alcohol so much. It is imbued into our socializing, our celebrating, our commiserating. It's often the only thing we can think of doing as an adult. But I really love to give people mindset shifts in order to see how much more potential physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially that we can have without alcohol, and really to start questioning the role of it, not only in our lives, but also in society, to really be able to achieve the bigger empowerment and potential we were able to come to this earth to do. I like to reimagine a world where alcohol wouldn't exist. What would be the cap of human potential? I think it would be literally limitless. And both from the physical standpoint to the emotional or the spiritual standpoint, there's just so much within us all that I think can really be unleashed when we remove the things that no longer serve us.
I completely agree, especially that last point. On mindset shifts, how do you work with someone? How do you approach mindset shifts, pardon me, specifically around alcohol?
Yeah. And thanks so much for having me because, you know, alcohol can be such a taboo topic in our society, and we've often relegated it to something that's either black or white. Either you have a massive problem with alcohol, you're a problem drinker, you need to go to AA, quit, go to rehab, whatever, or you're a normal adult and you're supposed to just drink basically whenever you socialize, whenever alcohol is called for, and that such. And this black and white thinking about it has led to so much pain in our society because it's never given us the ability to just reevaluate, does alcohol serve me in my lifestyle? And I found myself someone who is quite healthy, quite into mindfulness and yoga and drinking green juices, who continued drinking alcohol every single weekend like clockwork, waking up on Monday morning trying to figure out why I felt so crappy, right? I did all the things right except for that. And what I found is that through both my life and the experience I've had now working with thousands of clients is that because alcohol is basically conditioned on us, I mean, we are at one point teenagers given this drink and being told that it's the secret to coolness, rebellion, independence, being an adult, fitting in, belonging, all these things, that we form so many mental associations around what alcohol can bring us in the positive. And so when I talk about mindset shifts, when I work with someone, I help them really remove the kind of mental associations we've attached onto alcohol. Right now I have a glass of water in front of me, but pretend like it's a drink. It literally, when we're looking at alcohol, all it is a drink. It's a fermented beverage in a glass. Yet as society, we have put on so much more meaning to it. We have put on this meaning that it makes you feel sophisticated or glamorous, or it helps you relax, or it helps you sleep, or it helps you be a more confident version of yourself. And as long as we continue to believe that a glass of a fermented beverage can provide those qualities within us, it's gonna feel very hard to try to minimize drinking or to let it go completely. And so I help someone find the strength within themselves and to debunk all the myths that they believe around alcohol, both with science, positive psychology, and also really, really deep personal development within themselves, to literally let go of the illusion of alcohol in their lives. And when you do that, you lose your desire. And so it's almost kind of like with cigarettes. A lot of times people smoke cigarettes when they're younger, but can't even imagine putting a cigarette up to their lips today. I help people do the same thing around alcohol.
I really like that. And especially in the fitness, wellness sort of industry slash space,
alcohol is a really interesting topic because it's people are certainly there's plenty of problem drinkers in the fitness and wellness space, as well as far stronger drugs. It goes all the way up, depending on what people are using them for. But alcohol is one of those things that is often recognized as a nutritional no-no. So especially if you're well known as a kind of fitness influencer, you likely won't be seen drinking alcohol or doing things around alcohol. I've found, talking to well-known fitness people, that there's a double-edged sword to it, where people who are nothing like you would normally consider a problem drinker but do have alcohol on a somewhat regular basis are now trying to hide that and don't want to admit it. And they don't even realize that they've started kind of hiding their drinking because of who they represent on the outside and this cycle that can start to create, which I found very interesting. I thought you might have some thoughts on.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to say, too, that, like, for a long time, there's been so many wellness and fitness professionals who have venerated alcohol and very loudly been like, oh, it's okay to have a glass of wine every single night, you know? And it's like, are we trying to create some kind of emotional dependence on alcohol in our clients and say that that's okay, you know? And so I do see that, like, some women, and this is what, how I categorize myself, they're so healthy, they're so mindful about everything else, and alcohol is kind of that big elephant in the room that's just not getting addressed, you know? And the thing is that alcohol really comes to stand into our emotional regulation. And we use it as a way to kind of tamper down our nervous system, especially when we're very productive and kind of on all the time. A lot of people use alcohol to kind of turn off. And the thing is that it's horrible for nervous system regulation. Alcohol actually releases more stress hormones in your body. It releases cortisol, adrenaline, and dynorphin in your body. Dynorphin's kind of like the opposite of endorphins and actually makes you feel low and depressed. And so many people are using alcohol as a tool to try to decompress at the end of the day, but it essentially does the opposite. It compounds stress and makes you feel more wired in on edge over time. And so I do feel that, like, because it's like accepted, we like don't really talk about it, or like, you know, maybe just don't include it, and or we kind of just have it as maybe like, oh, you know, that elephant in the room where it makes me feel like an imposter to even bring this up. Like I've worked with women who felt like they couldn't ever talk about alcohol in their communities because they hadn't quite figured it out themselves, if that makes sense. So like, if we want to be able to talk about alcohol with our communities and or in the fitness world, it really does do some sense to be able to look at your own relationship. And I think that just takes a lot of bravery. And it doesn't mean you have to quit drinking for forever, but you have to have just the bravery to be able to peel back the layers to look into your own relationship with alcohol, what constructs were put in there, when did you learn to drink, why, what kind of resources are you looking from alcohol? Are you looking to feel more confident with a drink? Are you looking to relax with a drink? Like, why are you actually looking for drinking? And you will find so much personal development in doing that work and so much healing in doing that work too, and really figuring out how to meet your emotions in new healthy ways. You know, I think in fitness, a lot of time we might talk about more like, you know, don't use food as a substitute for like emotional, for, you know, emotional regulation. I mean, but then what? Is alcohol like the scapegoat, right, to use it instead? So it's like, if we really want to look at taking care of your needs in healthy ways and promoting health and fitness, I think alcohol obviously has to be part of that conversation.
It definitely has to be part of the discussion. And I think if you're listening to this and this resonates with you, to a degree, this is going to be a relatively self-selecting group. Like, there's for sure someone listening right now who's saying out loud as they walk down the street or doing their laundry, which is, as I understand, the only thing people do when they listen to podcasts, saying, I have a drink every once in a while. I'm fine. I'm not worried about it. It's not a big deal. They might be right. I'm completely on board with that. And there's one of the arguments that often comes up. You referenced earlier someone like referencing having a glass of wine or a glass of wine every evening and being accepting of that. A lot of times that gets couched in the context of, well, if this is the only indulgence, and in sometimes, and this is not everybody, of course, but I run into people like this on a regular basis, people who are counting their macros, who have immaculate sleep hygiene, whose fitness program is incredibly dialed in, who are doing a ton of recovery, a ton of journaling, like have knocked all of these things off, and they ask to keep one thing. Well, can I keep this? Is this my only indulgence? And as a coach, my instinct would be, yeah, probably. As long as it's not causing other effects. And that's where we dive into the discussion you were just talking about. Because often, from a coach's point of view, alcohol usually isn't the problem. It's everything around alcohol that becomes the problem, right? It's relatively negligible calories. Like, the macros kind of don't matter. as long as we're not talking about spectacular amounts of alcohol. But if and when it starts affecting your behavior, sleep, emotional regulation, ability to recover, are you starting to miss workouts? Are your relationships deteriorating? Is your work going downhill? All of this other stuff that starts to come along with it, including often poor eating habits and things like that. And that's where you can point and say, well, actually, it's not that the alcohol is the problem. It's that you're the problem with alcohol. So we need to start fixing all of these other things. And that seems really challenging. What if just removing the alcohol would fix all of those things? And suddenly it seems like a relatively not easy, but obvious problem to solve.
You know, too. And I really have to say that I think that so many people, along with what you're saying, like they get into such a habit around having alcohol. Like, you know, I started drinking as an 18-year-old. And I kept it as a regular habit, meaning on a weekly basis, at least for decades, right? Until I stopped drinking myself. And I think a lot of people kind of get groomed into that. You start drinking in college or whatever age, and then it just becomes part of the social fabric of your life. You might bring it home, might come into your dinner time, you know? And so what ends up happening is we actually, as adults, don't even know what our natural state feels like without alcohol. And so alcohol, because it's not a food group, it actually is a drug. It affects our body so intensely. It is a toxin that our body has to detox. So our body's working overtime to detox it every time we drink. And, you know, an 18-year-old might be able to bounce back. Once you get into your 30s, 40s, 50s, it takes days to detox alcohol out of your system. It takes days to detox the byproducts of alcohol out of your system. It pumps out more stress hormones into your body. So you're having higher cortisol levels than you would have. That takes weeks even to clear. And it also lowers your receptivity to things like dopamine, serotonin, and GABA. It actually lowers some of your happiness neurotransmitters. So I knew personally that as a drinker, my stress was high because of all that cortisol and my happiness neurotransmitters were low. And the thing is that I did was when I took a break, all of that started to rebalance. I actually started to feel what it felt like to be in my natural state. And so oftentimes I don't really look at alcohol. Is it a problem? Is it not a problem? Is it this qualifier or that qualifier? I like to lead with just this experimentation. If you've never tried to take a break from alcohol before, you actually might not know how much it's affecting you until you allow your body to really recalibrate to its natural states. You know, same thing with sleep. Even just a glass of wine lowers our REM sleep cycles from about 5 to 6 every night down to just maybe 1 or 2. And so someone could be clocking in 8 hours of sleep and not be getting that REM sleep cycles. And the people who are super fanatic with like tracking will see this on their Aura app or the other kind of like, you know, sleep monitors that you use about how alcohol can affect the sleep and circadian rhythm. I really do feel like even from a fitness standpoint too, like it not only maybe the calories, you know, are, you know, negligible or whatever, but it lowers your metabolism because alcohol cannot be stored in the body as like a fat or a protein or a carb can. Our body has to metabolize it right away, but then that means everything else gets paused, right? So it has actually proven that it slows down metabolism by up to 3 to 4 hours when we drink alcohol. And imagine just doing that every single day, adding that, compounding that. It also lowers, it increases appetite, right? So it increases appetite. It lowers our signal to our body that we're full. So, you know, that's like the grazing, the snacking at the bar, the pub. You can't even register the fact that you're full. And it actually depletes nutrients as well. So it depletes our absorption of vitamin A through B, E to like K, zinc, all of these things, which again can make us hungry in the moment because we're not getting those nutrients. And I just know personally, like I'm not drinking kale smoothies because I love the taste of kale, right? Like I'm trying to eat healthy because I want those good for you nutrients. And to think that alcohol is possibly sabotaging that is just, you know, a head spin. When it comes to like fitness and muscle mass as well, alcohol lowers our aerobic fitness. It makes our heart pump faster without the related exercise that we need. And so it's actually overworking your heart without any of that extra benefit that exercise gives it, which makes the heart sag over time and can be led to higher blood pressure and higher cholesterol. When I ditched alcohol, my cholesterol dropped by 50 points, which is pretty insane. 50 points, right? It also can lower our ability to synthesize protein in our muscles and our muscle mass because it decreases our testosterone and increases estrogen in our body. So I love to look at it from the biological perspective because there's so much that alcohol does to throw off a body. And oftentimes we get used to it and we just think this is normal living, right? And so by just taking a break from alcohol, what if you're curious, if you're one of those listeners right now that's like, huh, I wonder what that would feel like, you might feel things that like you would never have expected. And a lot of people find that they have so much better sleep, so much higher energy levels. more of that motivation to eat healthy and to go to the workout. I mean, I hated working out when I was hungover, you know, like that was the worst punishment, right? I didn't want to eat well. I wanted to eat whatever to just mop up the pain. And so can it really help that upward spiral of well-being as well? And I think for the person who's looking at it as their only indulgence, you know what I mean? Obviously maybe they need to indulge in other ways that are so like beautiful that really nourish them. And you always can explore a break to see if you feel better. Like if alcohol is the one thing that's actually like lowering your happiness neurotransmitters, I would love to experiment to see if that actually affects me or not. Because I personally wrote the book Euphoric. The title comes from literally the surge of positive feelings that you can get when you take a break from alcohol. But when I do work with women, I often help them really find ways to not be so hard on themselves, not be so strict in the sense of like, it's all work hard, work hard, work hard, but how can I bring more pleasure and more satisfaction and more like joy and fulfillment into my life? And oftentimes it might not be in the form of little treats like the way we do with food or alcohol. It's bigger picture stuff. Like, let me go on that vacation I always wanted to go on. Let me change careers. Let me start doing the dream I always wanted to do. So it's like bigger picture fulfillment, if that makes sense too.
It certainly makes sense. I mean, those are, you know, very small goals compared to very, very long-term goals. The taking a break and seeing how it affects you is, I think people will recognize, generally how we talk about any food sensitivity, right? Which is how this may be. Certainly, if you've, you know, decided to cut gluten out of your diet because you heard someone do it and decide to see how you feel, that's the same thing. Like, take 21 days and, you know, keep track of it, note it. It doesn't have to be, you know, an endless journal entry every day, but every single day, just notice how you're feeling. And if 10 days in, you're like, oh, you know, I feel less bloated and I'm sleeping better and I have more energy. And oh, yeah, I might have figured out this was the thing. And if you are someone who has chased, who has, you know, cut out gluten and gone paleo and gone keto and gone and tried a bunch of different things, because so often I feel like it is unacceptable in our society, as you reference, to like not drink or cut alcohol out. This is just another one of those. And for the health and fitness folks, especially people who've been deep in it for a while, approaching it like that might be a little more approachable and sort of easy to fit it into. Like, oh, well, I keep toggling these triggers. Be your own scientist. What happens if we take this out? Now, I'm interested, what brought you to alcohol so specifically? As opposed to, I talk to lots, and I know lots of nutrition coaches. I know lots of lifestyle coaches. I know lots of wellness coaches. You're an alcohol coach. Why so specific?
Yeah, great question. Well, I struggled, you know, and I struggled in a way that didn't look like the stereotypical struggle, you know, like we.
Again, yeah, you don't have alcohol. This tragic backstory, like, but you didn't lose. Well, I'm serious. I've had friends like that and known people like that who've lost absolutely everything and then had their moment of clarity and seen the light. And now they're, you know, want everyone to stop drinking. But I understand how they got there. This, you had a very different path.
I did. And like I said, I had one of those like more healthy on the outside, and alcohol was that one indulgence. And I drank every weekend because what else are you supposed to do to celebrate the weekend type of a thing? And yet I struggled. I struggled in this deep isolation and this deep shame that I just wasn't doing it right. Every time I drank, every time, it didn't matter if I had one drink or five drinks, I woke up feeling ashamed. I woke up feeling low. I woke up feeling like I was a shell of myself. I woke up feeling like I just couldn't keep, I was making this progress in my healthy lifestyle, 4 steps forward, 3 steps backward every weekend, you know? And it felt like this cycle. And I was just like, why can't I just concentrate on getting healthier? Why does alcohol always have to throw me back? And I also thought something's wrong with me. You know, I remember when I had a beer once and then I slept so horribly that night. And I was like, what the hell? If I can't even have one beer, what's the point? And I literally thought something was wrong with me and my body, and that I just couldn't metabolize alcohol. Like, I literally took it on as so much of a personal challenge. I also felt like I, you know, sometimes would have a drink and I would want more. And I was like, what's wrong with that? Like, am I an alcoholic, right? And the thing is that as I learned so much more about the role of alcohol in our lives, I learned so much more about how it affects our brain chemistry, so much more about how other people deal with alcohol as well, is that most people are actually over drinking. So the statistics that come from just the highest levels show that the majority of people over drink, right? A drink way above the health guidelines. So it's like most people aren't drinking what we call alcoholically, right? They're not waking up and slugging vodka in the morning, but we are over drinking as a society. And you can see it. In the last 20 years, alcohol has become so proliferated everywhere. I mean, movie theaters used to not sell alcohol, remember? Like craft breweries used to not be on every street corner. Moms used to not go to soccer practice with like wine in their tumblers. You know, we had a different society almost 50 years ago compared to the way that alcohol is just everywhere today. And doctors have seen it. There's been such a rise in drinking, especially among women. And they see a lot of complications happening because of it in people who are quote unquote non-alcoholic drinkers. Mm-hmm. They say that just drinking two drinks a week for a woman can increase her liver fat up to 15 to 20% within just 2 months. Two drinks a week for a woman can increase her breast cancer risk by 15%, right? So there's just so much more science too that's happening about how alcohol is affecting our longevity, our health risk, our cancer risk, our heart disease risk as well. There's so much misnomer saying that alcohol is good for the heart. And the World Health Federation just came out saying there is no safe amount of alcohol for your heart, right? Like there's no benefits to it. That's like misdone studies basically from the past. You would have to drink basically, you know, 18 tons of alcohol to even get the resveratrol they're talking about that's good for you, which you could more easily get from a supplement than the combating the ethanol, which is the toxic part that we are also drinking. So, you know, I think I just came to this because I just saw so many people also struggling with it, but also not fitting in with that, you know, very stereotypical, I'm on the side of the road type of a problem. And there's so many resources available, whether it's AA or rehab or all those kinds of programs that are there for that kind of group of people. What about everyone else in the middle? What about everyone else in the middle who's like, is this daily wine habit serving me? Am I over drinking on the weekends? Is this like five beers with my buddies? Like, why am I feeling so sluggish? And yet, why is it so hard to say no? There's so many people trapped in that middle gray area. And what happened with me is not only did I take a break from alcohol and my energy improved, my sleep improved, my confidence improved, my self-esteem improved, my self-love improved. And I started figuring out why the hell was I even drinking in the first place? And yes, I could give you answers that everyone else was doing it and that's just what you did on the weekend to hang out and all those kinds of things. But ultimately, if I really was being honest with myself, I was drinking because I was unfulfilled with my life. I was unfulfilled, especially with my week. And that's why I couldn't wait for the weekend to unwind. And so it has me do so much soul searching of why was I so unfulfilled? Well, I didn't feel like I was in the career I was supposed to be. I wasn't making an impact in the world like I always wanted to. I always wanted to be an author, for example. I wasn't writing any books back then. And so instead of being unfulfilled and letting alcohol be this band-aid that I was using as a way to find this some spark of pleasure, I started creating the life that I really wanted all this time. I launched a business. I became a coach. I wrote a book. Now I travel the world with my husband doing this. And so when I help people ditch alcohol, it's less of a food change, right? Like a food group change or a nutritional change. It's more of a mindset change. If we could unblock the thing that's blocking you from really harnessing your full potential and believing that you can have the life you want, I see alcohol functioning more in that realm because it's not just my life that's changed so profoundly. Most of my clients and so many women I've met, literally it's alcohol that they remove and it unleashes the floodgates to their bigger dreams. They make such huge changes in their life. I was just talking to a woman who was drinking regularly and stopped drinking. And all of a sudden now she's a bar instructor. She's getting certified as a Pilates instructor and she's starting her own coaching business. She can't even believe the changes she's made because the past version of her would have never done any of that kind of stuff. It just unleashes so much more motivation in you. So that's why I'm so passionate about it because it's like, it's a huge lifestyle change that it can bring. And I talk about this a lot more in my book, Euphoric, Ditch Alcohol, Gain a Happier, More Confident You, why alcohol or why a break from alcohol more accurately will affect your body, mind, and soul, and why it can unleash this real big sense of hunger and passion to go after a dream life. So you can find that there because I know it sounds pretty big to swallow, right? Like just remove alcohol and all your dreams will come true. But I've seen it happen so many times over and over and over. And I love talking about it because alcohol is also the only drug we have to defend not taking in our society. And even though there's a lot more books and people talking about living an alcohol-free lifestyle, most people I talk to will still say, I'm the only one in my friend circle doing this. And they still feel isolated and like they don't belong or that they're the odd one out. So I just think it's such an important topic to address in our society and to really give people empowerment that there's so much waiting for them, you know, outside of a beverage. There's so much to life. And I think it just asks and begs so much personal development when you go on that break. You know, you have to actually ask yourself, what makes me happy? Because for so long, maybe I assumed a glass of beer on a Friday night makes me happy. No, now I have to actually ask, like, the bigger picture, what makes me happy? Not just this, like, quick stimulation of my brain, immediate gratification. What truly organically brings me joy? And a lot of people find that they become more active in seeking out the answers to that.
Well, that's a really interesting point. Can I challenge you on something slightly?
Of course.
Because a very compelling story, both yourself and the clients you're talking about. But it seems to me that you realized alcohol wasn't particularly serving you, that it was sort of a default because it sounded like you were generally unfulfilled, bored, not having a great time. It wasn't that it seems to me, so what I just heard, and this is what I'm interested in, it seems to me that alcohol wasn't particularly the problem. It was something you were doing as a default because you were generally unfulfilled. But in starting to reckon with why am I drinking? Why am I doing this thing that isn't actually fulfilling me? It let you ask bigger questions, come to the conclusion that you actually didn't like this job a lot and you weren't doing what you wanted to with your life and big changes had to happen. And that's the door it seemed to open to all of this other work.
I think I used alcohol as a comfort zone for so long, mm-hmm. which I think is what you're saying, right? And it was a way to play small. Like, I had big dreams as a little girl, and it was so daunting to go after them, you know? And it was like, it was so much easier to open a bottle of wine than write the next great American novel. So it became this default comfort zone of always choosing comfort and what was easy in the moment instead of doing the hard things I really wanted to do that would have made me feel better. Now, I do have to say, though, when I took a break from alcohol, because alcohol affects the body and the brain in such intimate and nuanced levels, the kind of rebalancing that my body and brain went through, all of the explosions of higher energy, of better sleep, of having higher sense of happiness neurotransmitters, I call that positive surge of feelings, rediscovering a self-love for myself because I wasn't letting myself down anymore all the time. That break in itself, like, that wasn't just the personal development side of it, right? Like, there actually was something physically happening to my body that was so incredible that kind of also helped propel me into that next stage of development. And that's just, again, why I love talking about, you know, exploring a break from alcohol, because it's a really powerful, you know, lever to kind of pull or to experiment with. Like you said, like, experiment for yourself, see the benefits for yourself. Like, most people are very much excited by what they see on the other side. And if you're not and you don't like it, go back to drinking, right? There's nothing to lose here, you know? It really is like, we're an adult, we have autonomy, and we get to explore what works best for us.
But then at least you're making an informed decision, right? And you're making that choice. Or the same way, like, I know if I have ice cream, it's going to be challenging tomorrow. My life is less good with lactose in it. But I'm well aware of that. I don't have ice cream very often. I don't really miss it, but every once in a while, you know what? I'm having ice cream today because this is, and I'm 100% aware of what this decision is going to get me.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, so many people I talk to, like, this is a change, too, from a state of being. You know, it's not like the person who's having a drink once a month, right, who is having this incredible life change. But it's not the heavy drinker either, right? It's wherever alcohol regularly became a crutch in your life. You know, just think of how often we use it to socialize. Like, you know, you learn to drink when you're out with friends. Maybe you have a little bit of social anxiety. Maybe you're an introvert. Maybe, you know, it's just awkward to talk to people you've first met. We have come to use alcohol as this crutch for confidence. And I believe that as long as we do that, and I'm saying this because of my own personal story, we'll never find the confidence within ourselves. We'll continue to reach outside for alcohol, for confidence. And so it really is, you're right. It's kind of like this symbolic exercise as well of redeveloping the things that you're looking for alcohol to do for you within yourself, right? You're looking for alcohol to make you less bored, right? No, like, go inside and find what you really want from your life. You're looking at alcohol to make you feel more confident in social situation. Only you can bring that confidence and develop that within yourself. Alcohol only lowered my confidence over time. So I think it's just this incredible symbolic, you know, exercise to really see how, as a society even, have we come to rely on alcohol in so many insidious ways. And you get such a freedom when you kind of reclaim those things back for yourself and more.
I like that. Who is, when you're working with somebody, what are the reasons why people fail?
I don't believe in failure, right? I think that as long as you're trying, you're so further ahead than someone who's never even started the journey, right?
So I like that a lot. So let me restate the question because I'm completely on board with that. If someone comes to you and says, Carolina, I was inspired. I'm totally on board. I think I don't want to drink anymore at all. I think that's where I'm going. I would like to please help. Why do people typically not reach that intended goal if someone doesn't? Yeah.
Well, you know, first of all, it is a change that, like, I mean, imagine, like, if I just asked you to start speaking Chinese tomorrow, you know, I'm going to assume that you don't know how and that you would start with very basic words that, like, sometimes because I think the AA methodology or this, like, you know, alcoholic methodology is like, the day you say you don't want to drink anymore is the day you never drink from then on, and you're not successful until you die sober, right? And that is not how any other skill or lifestyle change is ever made, right? Like, we learn through practice, we learn through failure, we learn from trying something and getting back up again. And if someone were to embark and wants the intention, the larger intention, to remove alcohol from their life for good, and imagine if they started taking a break, but then they drank a little bit again, and then they kind of had a few more alcohol-free days and they drank again. And if you look at the month and say they didn't drink 20 days out of 30 days, right, compared to their normal month, which would have been drinking all 30 days, I would say that's a huge success. And that's really incredible in their first month, right? And the second month can improve, and the third month, and so on. You know, under a year alcohol free, there's a lot, there can be back and forth. You know, I see people get so down on themselves if they drink one time after 6 months of not drinking. Oftentimes that one time will really teach the mind about why you don't like alcohol in the first place and help you de-romanticize it, you know, because a lot of times we might say no to something, but then we romanticize it for so long. So I really don't see failure as possible as long as you completely don't give up, as long as you completely don't throw in the towel and say, this sucks, this will never work for me, you know. And I think it's really heartening to see that example of so many people who have both gone back and forth with alcohol and then become successfully alcohol free, but also in any endeavor in life, you know, like, how many times has this business person failed over and over and over and over again until they got their success? Like, it really is the kind of metaphor for any kind of success that we want in our life. Comes with a lot of failure, comes with a lot of, like, you know, progress that looks like a crazy kind of staircase with lots of ups and downs. And so as long as the intention is there, I don't believe that the failure is possible, other than losing the intention completely and saying, nope, this is just not for me. So recognizing too that, like, it's going to change how you talk about yourself. It's going to change about how you deal with your inner critic and how you deal with some self-love and compassion and grace for yourself. Like, again, this journey isn't just about removing the alcohol and restricting it. It's going to change your internal landscape as well, as you learn to forgive yourself, love yourself more, and really start being your biggest cheerleader instead of your biggest critic.
100%. And people may also find, I've had this with other, I used to do a lot more nutrition work. We don't really do a lot of nutrition anymore. But I would have clients I would take through parts of this journey. And there's someone I remember very specifically who they had a drink or two every night. They never drank to what we call excess, basically never, but they were a very regular drinker. And they often felt groggy, and they often felt a degree of shame in the morning around not feeling their best, and realized that, you know, they hadn't set themselves up for success for that day and things like that. Took alcohol away, they still felt terrible in the morning. And it turned out, and I wasn't terribly surprised, but their sleep hygiene actually wasn't very good, and they were actually generally dehydrated, and there were all kinds of other things. But it was an interesting come together of two things, where they had put it all on alcohol, recognized it as a problem that they were making themselves feel terrible about, put off dealing with it for a very long time, dealt with it 4 days in, realized there were other things to deal with, but they had at least pushed this thing aside that was making them feel so terrible and was a weight they were carrying around. And that was a much simpler kind of math equation to, all right, well, we're going to change your screen time around bedtime, and you're going to drink some water an hour before you go to bed. And suddenly sleep was amazing, and morning energy was better and everything, but we couldn't have gotten there without getting this kind of elephant out of the way.
Yeah. I've seen that path of, oh, please.
No, please go ahead.
I just see that path of self-improvement happening so much. You know, it's like there's so much that alcohol can block us of really feeling in our bodies as well. Like it's an anesthetic. It actually numbs us to the ability to sense and feel things. So if like something's off, you know what I mean? Like we can't even really feel it in our bodies if alcohol is always a constant. So you can remove the alcohol too. And I just see people improve their lives so much because it's like, okay, yes, now my sleep hygiene, right? Like I wasn't focused on that. Or yes, like I hadn't thought about why I was emotionally eating. Or yes, like now I want to find more fulfillment in my career. And I think that alcohol really just does function as this huge numbing effect in the sense of like you could have a stressful, hard day and drink every single night and keep repeating that cycle over and over and over. And if you remove the alcohol, finally you ask yourself, why is it stressful? Is my boss giving me too much work? Do I deserve a raise? Should I maybe talk about a different position? Like all of a sudden solutions are coming out to play instead of just like hard drink, repeat, hard, you know what I mean? Like it's just nothing can change until you kind of remove that one big block and then you can really make all the improvements.
One of my favorite questions for coaches, who is not a good fit to work with you?
Yeah, great question. So I really do believe that, you know, in a way we have been conditioned to drink in our society. Like if you are a drinker and you have had any relationship with alcohol, like I want us to really recognize that that is a function of growing up where we've grown up, right? Like alcohol is literally made a rite of passage when we're teenagers and that it is embedded into all of our social institutions. If you're going to go anywhere past 5 o'clock, you better bet there's going to be alcohol served. And then you're going to be the one who's getting 21 questions if you're not drinking it, right? Like we have to all recognize that that's how most social circles play and work. And so nobody has any fault, right, of having any kind of alcohol habit. We've been sold it as such a lie that it helps us with relaxation and it helps heart health and all this stuff, even helps us sleep, right? Like that's such a lie. And yet 27% of Americans use it regularly to help them fall asleep, right? However, if you really want to have your life change, you have to recognize that there's also these beliefs and this kind of emotional dependence that's been formed on alcohol over time. And so someone who wouldn't be a good candidate to work together is someone who just doesn't want to work through their own mindset and really look how they can become empowered in believing things differently, believing that they have more freedom, more choice, more ability to change. So I would say just someone who believes that nothing could change, that they're stuck, that, you know, they have no resources or no solutions at their fingertips and are looking for some kind of magic pill, you know, kind of to solution, that probably would not be a good candidate to work with. I will say too about who I do work with. I work with very intuitive people. So I work with people who literally, like on the outside, it would not look like an alcohol program problem, right? They're feeling in their body there, they're feeling from their gut and from their heart is that this is not serving me. And even though I don't have the evidence to show it in the way that like someone with a severe problem would, I know that this is the one thing holding me back from what I really want in life. And sometimes people don't have the language to articulate that, but just a feeling of like my intuition has been guiding me. Every Monday morning I woke up after drinking on the weekend, my intuition was telling me like, Carolina, please take a break. Please don't put alcohol back into the week. Please like try this, like see who you could be without alcohol. Cause I have to tell you, it wasn't just the drinking that would put me down. There was such a, especially when you're like the health minded person, there was such a debate about it, right? Should I drink tonight? Should I not? Okay. But I'm trying to be good. Okay. But I had a hard day at work or, oh, I was invited out with my friends. Yeah. But I have that presentation tomorrow. Should I go? Should I not? But okay, we'll just have one drink. You know, it was this constant mental gymnastics. It took so much chatter in my brain, so much monkey mind going off. And that when I finally removed alcohol, there was such a freedom, such a peace in my mind, you know? And so that's kind of the woman I do work with. And I help us, honestly, I help aspiring entrepreneurs who really want to have a life of freedom and impact and abundance, but feel like alcohol is the thing that's holding them back from that. And so not only do my programs help someone ditch alcohol, it helps them define their deeper purpose and then go unleash it into the world. So for example, We are launching a coaching certification program this spring that will actually help people who've already changed their lives go back and now help other people and create incredible business out of it. And so that's what I really believe, that like you go through changes for a reason so you can help other people. So I hope that answers the question of who I wouldn't work with and then who this is right for.
I think that's pretty good. I mean, I heard you say, you know, people who believe that they need to make a change are probably people who should be coming to you if they are not willing to do difficult work and potentially make what may be scary decisions and difficult changes and work through some stuff, then maybe it's not time yet, but it might be worth a chat to figure out if it's time yet.
And I say for anyone who's like, oh my God, I don't want to do any of this, you know, you don't have to, right? Like this is obviously something to just pique your curiosity. And if it has piqued your curiosity and you're not yet ready to just take a break and actually do an experiment yourself, just like lean in a little bit to that, learn a little bit more about it, right? Like read a book or listen to another podcast or follow another sober influencer, like allow your intuition to just guide you to what's interesting you. And I think that won't lead you astray.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm a huge fan of people kind of self-experimenting within safe grounds and being their own scientist, because people find the stuff that works for them. And if it works for you and makes you feel better, as long as you're, you know, not being taken advantage of or doing something dangerous or hurting someone else, yeah, let's do it. I'm completely on board. Carolina, where should people find you? Tell them all the places, plug all the things.
Awesome. Well, you can find me at euphoricaf.com. That's where you'll find the programs I work with women to not only ditch alcohol, but also discover their deeper purpose. I host retreats in places like Bali and Costa Rica around the year. So if you're interested in meeting more like-minded women who are going alcohol-free, that would be such an amazing place to do so, as well as the certification program that's coming out this May if you're interested in becoming a coach yourself. And then I'm on Instagram pretty actively as well, and that's at euphoric.af.
Fantastic. And we put all of that stuff in the show notes. So if you're listening to this on a device, just touch the little picture and it'll take you to all of the links. You can go to all the things and sign up for all of the retreats. Karolina Jakubowska, thank you so much for coming on the Feel Strong podcast. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I had a blast.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Feel Strong Fitness podcast. Please subscribe and leave a 5-star rating if you have the time. That makes a really big difference. If you have questions, you want details, DM us on Instagram at FeelStrongFit. There's more information on the website at feelstrong.me. We value effectiveness, individualization, and empathy. See what it's like to have an expert in the field really listen, hear what you need, and build you the perfect program to get you where you want to go. Today is the perfect time to get started. Reach out.